Hi, good morning, Solomon's Porch. I'm Ian. I'm giving the message today. We're reading from the verse in 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 15. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning just seeking your word, seeking your message to us, Lord, seeking your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to encounter us, to give us a deep revelation and understanding, to remind us also, Lord, of passages that we've read in the Bible, to refresh our souls, to give us new perspectives, and to just hold us steadfast, walking with you, loving you, and becoming more like you. Lord, we love you. I would pray that you will speak to us this morning through the message, through the verses, through the worship. And we can pray for one another as well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I'll be reading from the ESV version, English Standard Version, and then I'll also read from the Message version, just for a comparison of two versions. So this is from ESV. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that by putting off the putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time to recall these things. Amen. If I can quickly read also from the Message version, just for emphasis, get into. So this is from the Message version. Simon Peter, I'm a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours, all due to our God's straight dealing and intervention of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience and with God and Jesus our Master. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we've ever received. We are also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you've turned back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in our lives, no grass will grow under your feet, No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you will have a life on a firm footing. Streets paved the way wide open to the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I won't read to verses 12 to 15. Who is the author of these this book actually? Well, the book is titled Peter, so we know that it is actually written by the Apostle Peter. But if we notice, he actually calls himself Simon Peter. Now, Simon was the original name he had, his birth name, if you like. And he calls himself both Simon Peter. Perhaps just to let the reader know that he is Simon Peter from as the that person. But I think it's also kind of comforting to us that he remembers his old self, but also identifies with his new self. And I don't know about you, but coming to Christ is something which is both a great revelation as well as a time when we struggle with our new self and old self. I think we know that our old self is still in competition with our new being, and the goal and sanctification of coming to know Jesus is really sometimes a battle between our old nature and our new nature. And so Simon Peter is in some ways also reminding himself and us where he came from, right? Where he came from. And so just a quick recap of where and who Simon is, right? So we know that Simon was also a fisherman who had left everything to follow Jesus. So he abandoned his livelihood, he abandoned his job and everything, all to follow Jesus. And he did that at a whim. He did that instantly. He was also the disciple who saw Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop, one of the few who actually saw the transfiguration of Jesus. And what an honor and immense privilege to have actually witnessed those with his own flesh, his own earthly body, his own earthly eyes, his own natural eyes. He was also the disciple, if you remember, who walked on water when Jesus called him. And then when he started to doubt, he started to sink. It's so human, I think, of how Simon was portrayed in the Bible, and so relatable to us in our faith. He was also the disciple who swore to go to death with Jesus, that he would never leave Jesus aside. And lo and behold, when Jesus was arrested, he was going to be the one who also denied Jesus three times. And Jesus had warned him, and he would say never. And so this is a man who is filled with the natural flaws that we as disciples also have. All the vulnerabilities, all the doubts, and all the fears, and all the actions that we are also ashamed of, right, when we fall short of the holiness, even as disciples of Jesus. And he reminds us, this is also where he came from. But he's also saying, I'm Peter, because Jesus has given me a new identity, a new name, and this is now my direction. It is a name that cannot be taken away from me. It's an identity that belongs to me. It's an identity which I am now, but also becoming, right? I am already now Peter, and also becoming Peter, the true and sanctified Peter that Jesus is calling him to. At the same time, he's saying and identifying himself as having a role, right? He's identifying himself with having the role of an apostle. And so in many ways, Even though we're not all apostles, as P. Sam would say, we are all called into a new role, perhaps a new purpose in God. And in this case, he was apostle. In our case, it might be something else. It might be, some in some sort of ministry, in some sort of service to God. It doesn't have to be necessarily a leader within SP. It can be anywhere. It could be in your workplace. It could be you could be a helper somewhere. You could just be doing something to fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus. So Simon just emphasizes and relates to us in both ways, both as a natural person and also as an apostle in Jesus Christ. And he is talking to Christians. This message is to believers like you and I. These are messages. This is a message to people to remind them about their faith, to ground them, that not only to ground them, but also to remind them that faith needs to be active. It needs to be active in order for it to be fruitful, right? And there is, some commentaries that say that Peter really wrote this very near his death, right? Peter wrote this very near his death. And I think that that is also seen towards the end of the verse. If you give me a second, I'm still at the Message translation. There's a verse towards the end. So this is in verse 13. He says, I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So some commentaries say that Peter actually was put to death a year after writing this. And so even in this passage, he says Jesus had already revealed to him that his death and his departure from his body would be pending, would be very soon. So this is a man who, in his last days, he would be thinking, what's the most important message I can send to my fellow brothers and sisters? What's the one thing, if I was to die very quickly, I want to write to say to my brethren? And you see that he is not expounding any new details about Jesus. He's not talking about his achievements of success. He is really giving us the most precious gift, which is a reminder about who he is, where he came from, but also how to build on our faith. Because he himself has experienced the ups and downs, the setbacks, the failures, the shame, sometimes when as a disciple, but also the need to push. And I remember if you remember Pastor Ian's sermon on last Sunday, that need to push and jumpstart our faith, right? And some of us maybe need that. In fact, all of us, myself included, we need to be reminded, because the Apostle Peter says, you need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded. We are all forgetful. We need to be pushed and reminded about how to ground ourselves in the faith, right? How to make sure that our calling and election is true, right? I don't really want to get into the whole topic about election and calling and works, but I would say this. I think this passage does confirm and does support the view that once saved, always saved. Right, it's not a view which I like very much. because I think it brings so much, it brings so much misunderstanding sometimes to early believers, and it can also make people, it can also have the reverse effect of what this passage is really trying to tell us. This passage is not really emphasizing the once saved, always saved, and therefore by extrapolation, you don't really need to work for your faith. What this passage is telling us is you are saved, you are called, you are elected, not because of what we've done, but at the same time, this passage is earnestly saying to us, be diligent, right? Be diligent in your faith. And I think there's a huge difference between the argument that we do not work for our faith versus the argument that we should be diligent in our faith, right? Yes, we don't work. We cannot earn our faith. It was given to us as a free gift. It's not going to be revoked by God because God is faithful even when we are not faithful. But that doesn't mean we don't diligently work for our faith. It doesn't mean we don't earnestly desire to increase our spiritual strength in our faith. And those two things are sometimes not emphasized enough, right? Those two things are not said enough so that we can get strong, become strong in our faith. And too many, perhaps, of us, sometimes myself included, are complacent, and we don't make enough earnest effort and diligence to follow through in what the Apostle Paul is calling us to do as Christians. So what exactly is he saying? What do we do in order to have this diligence to increase our effectiveness in the kingdom of God? Now, if you look at verse 4, he's saying that, we've been granted this precious and very great promise. What is this precious and very great promise, right? That we will enter the kingdom of God, that we will enter the kingdom of by the by virtue of the sacrifice and the forgiveness that's only available through Jesus. That is the precious promise that all of us have, regardless of our stature in the world, because who we are, how rich we are, how successful we are, how much ministry we've led, what we've done in the church. It doesn't really matter. We will all enter the kingdom of God, which is the great and precious promise. But he also says, so that you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. So he's saying that, look, you will enter the kingdom of God. But not only that, you are going to be able to escape the corruption that is in this world because of the sinful desire. Now, back to what I was saying, we all struggle, we all fall short, and it's frustrating as a Christian sometimes that we constantly go through this back and forth about how we strengthen ourselves in Jesus. And so he's saying that when we become a disciple, we can partake in the divine nature rather than the earthly nature of ourselves. And the divine nature requires the spiritual gifts. It requires the Holy Spirit to build ourselves up. And how do we supplement and how do we co-work with God in this way? It is not just a passive reliance on the Holy Spirit. It's not just a passive, we become a believer, we sit down and we let the Holy Spirit transform us. Some churches believe that and some churches preach that. But it is actually a co-working, right, with God. We're called co-heirs with Christ. So sometimes we think, oh, we're just going to succeed once we get to the kingdom of God. But that is not true. Even in this passage, he says, do this so that you will have a rich welcome into the kingdom of God. And not to get into it too much, but there is a difference between escaping just by the fire and coming into the kingdom of God, which with a rich welcome. And he's saying, look, if you've got this promise, why don't add to it by making every effort to increase that possibility of having a rich, warm welcome into the kingdom of God, which would be your forever place, right? So yes, you are saved, and you are once saved, always saved, but there is so much more that he's trying to say. So how do we do this? He's saying, well, supplement your faith, your basic faith. Remember the Message translation actually said your basic faith with virtue, right? With virtue, with knowledge. And I think we can get into every single word, but Wikipedia, the encyclopedia, dictionary is available. I think we can always, understand deeper each of these words. But let's go through them. Virtue with knowledge. Right? Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. Steadfastness with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love. Now, when I read this, I'm somewhat surprised that it ends with love, right? And I think the word love is used so commonly these days that perhaps we don't understand the true meaning of what love means in the Bible or what love means to Peter here. But you realize that it is a ascending order of the virtues he's talking about, an ascending order of a character which is marked with Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, myself included, I put love as not a very high bar. I don't put love as the highest bar you can achieve. In some ways, my head says, yes, of course, love is the most important thing. Even John Lennon sang about that. Plenty of celebrities sing about love is all you need and all that thing. But in reality, in actual practice, what do I actually value more? I'll be honest. I think I value and I put more emphasis and more weight on my self-control, right? How much I know about the Bible, how much I read the Bible, how much time I spend praying, how much time I spend in ministry, what do I do with my life? I spend a lot more time and a lot more concern with these things, which are not bad things. But if I forget that the end goal of all these things is to increase in my affection towards my brethren and towards even people outside the church, and to increase ultimately in love, then I'm doing all these things for the wrong reasons, and perhaps, not even being worth half of what I think they're worth, or not worth anything at all. If you call in, I think it's First Corinthians, it says, if I have not love, all these things that I do, all the singing, all the prophecy, all the worship, everything that I do is going to be meaningless, right? And so all these things ultimately bring us to a state of love which is sincere, which is pure, the love which is godly, right? And also, all this is only enabled when we enter the divine nature, when we become partakers of the divine nature because of who we are. We have a new identity, as in the same way that Simon was given a new identity in Christ. And so when we become a Christian, we have a new identity. We have God in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit to enable us. And we work with the Holy Spirit to increase all these virtues, the knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, the godliness, and brotherly affection and love. And if we increase in these things, if we remind ourselves, if we take the Apostle Paul's earnest reminder to all believers, and we do these things, he's saying they will keep us away from being ineffective, being unfruitful in our faith. And why is that so important? Why do we have to be effective? Why do we have to be fruitful? Well, I think this is the part where I come in with my own kind of angst about it. I actually think it's absolutely immensely important that we are fruitful, that we are effective, because there are too many verses in the Gospels that scare me so much. The ones that we hear of, when Jesus turns and says, "I never knew you, away from me." And it's those people who say to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," and he says, "Why do you call me Lord when you've never done anything I've asked you to do?" And that chills me to my bones. It makes me feel that I do want to be effective. I do want to be fruitful. And as what the Apostle Paul, what the Apostle Peter is saying, he's saying, well, this helps you also first to be effective and to contribute, to partake in the divine nature. But second of all, it's also going to help you become more sure of your calling and your election as a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Right? It makes me more assured that I am given this precious promise, that I am not just head knowledge and I'm not just intellectually agreeing with the gospel, but I'm living it out because I am transformed and I am a son of God in that way. So it has a twofold effect. It helps me on the one hand to be useful in the kingdom of God, which I think is fulfills a deep desire in our hearts, to be frank. It fulfills a huge desire in our hearts to be useful. I think that's evident in our daily work, maybe if whether we work or not. If you don't work and maybe you're a parent, being helpful, being useful to your children, being useful to your community, being useful to your church, and if you're working, being useful in your job. I think that fulfills a deep desire for us, and it gives us great fulfillment, right? When we are useful. And so God is saying, I'm giving you this. I'm telling you the secret to becoming useful, to fulfilling yourself, and to be effective, because that's what you desire. That's exactly what you desire. And I'm telling you, this is what you do. When God made Adam and Eve, the first thing that he told them to do was, well, first of all, name all the creatures I've created. So that's work. Then tend to the garden, and that's work again. But he knew that he created us to enjoy all these things, to enjoy work. Okay, so the second one, again, is what I've said, to confirm and to assure us when we are fearful, when we have doubts about the genuineness of our faith, to say that, well, if you're increasing on these fruits and you're being effective, then it's very likely that you are called, that you have been chosen, that you have been given these precious promises, and you can hold on to them. And so it's a cycle. It's a virtuous cycle where we become more confident of the kingdom that we're entering, that we can see the Apostle Paul is becoming more and more confident as he comes nearer and nearer to his death. He should be a man who's fearful, but he is now a man with absolute clarity as to where he's going, absolute clarity as to how he's got there, and telling us, this is the roadmap I want to remind you of to get to this state where I am, where I know, where even God has revealed to me that I'm about to die. This is now my last message to you as believers, that add to your faith with diligence, with earnestness of all these virtues, so that you know at the end of the end of your life where you're going, and not only know where you're going, but also know that you have contributed, that you have partook in the divine nature, this immense privilege to be co-worker with Jesus, right, in making this world, if you like, a better place before we leave, right? And so with that, let's close in the word of prayer and invite Sterling to come and worship and lead us in worship. Father God, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your words of encouragement and reminder, the humility of the Apostle Peter, making it so relatable for so many of us. And Lord, I pray that for all of us, myself, our loved ones, to be grounded in the faith and to add to our faith all the virtues so that we can be effective and we can be fruitful for you, and that we can be fulfilled ourselves in this divine nature, in this virtuous cycle that you've called us to, that we can be active in our faith, Lord, and we will grow and we will enjoy and look forward to entering your kingdom in Jesus Christ. We love you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Been lifted high, no one. king to her rescue today. One empty way, you were. I come to answer.
Man, thank you, Sterling. Let's move on to our community prayers. Let's pray for those of us who are suffering from cancer, praying for God in this fight with cancer, Lord. Let's pray for those suffering from various illnesses, but also praying for the knowledge of who Jesus is, praying for their faith. Pray for others who are suffering from various types of infirmities. Let's also pray for Ed Lucas and Isaac suffering from COVID. Let's pray for them. And also the frontline medical workers and the nurse shortage. Let's also pray for Catherine and James for their jobs, whether it's job seeking or breakthrough in their jobs. Let's pray for them. Let's also move to Mission Focus, praying for Cambodia, Oasis House, P. Jenny, North Korea, for Open Doors and Ministry and opportunities and partnerships in Asia, as well as persecuted churches in the Middle East, and all the classes, outreaches, and the meetings there. Let's pray. Pray for all the activities happening on the weekend. I pray for the Sunday services, the well, SP Kids worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin, spill classes and outreaches, and all the meetings as well. Let's pray for the mothers, Rachel, Joni, and others who pray for their pregnancies and pray for smooth delivery. And also pray for the house churches meeting up on the weekend, Bowen, Hollywood, Mawan, and Southside. Hey, let's. My apologies, that was me. Let's end with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the morning. We thank you for that your mercy is on you every morning, Lord, and we thank you that we come together as a community. Just to refresh in your word, start up our day. Lord, may you bless us all and start up our day. May you be with us, may you remind us, may you protect us. And Lord, may you encourage us as well as we walk in faith, as we walk in being encouraged by you. And we remind ourselves we need to be strong and courageous, and also diligent in working for our faith. Ultimately, Lord, working towards brotherly affection and love is what we're seeking and our goal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining. I'll see you guys on Sunday. Bye.